Dave Lucas, retired Marine, Eagle Scout, a father of two wonderful boys, and a husband to a wonderful lady, Laura. I've really enjoyed our time here in Spokane. We love the outdoors, camping, fishing, hiking. Have really enjoyed the activities that the boys have been able to do with us with regard to being involved in scouts and summer camps and boating and all the great, wonderful things that the community has to offer.
So what's your vocation?
So my vocation is a retired Marine right now. When I had originally retired in 2013 and came to Spokane, my original thought had been to open the Dunkin' Donuts franchise on this side of the state. Spent probably 2 years working through that and working at different franchises here in town, learning the franchise business. I worked with a friend of mine who owns several of the Sonic. Went through the Blaze Pizza training program down in Pasadena. Worked with him on starting that up. We opened the Blaze up on Division. Worked through that and then did that all through until last year. And then I mentioned we had taken the trip as a family. So that was kind of when I started wrapping things up. We had a new manager on deck, so things were going very smoothly. But the one thing I did learn from that is the demands were extremely heavy and really were very similar a lot of ways in the time away from the kids that I saw in the Marine Corps, which was the reason that I ended up deciding to retire. And so through that process, it was a very educational process, but learned that probably for a family lifestyle wasn't the route that we wanted to go. So the last year or so, maybe a little less, I've really just been focused on volunteer work in the community. I sit on several boards, sit on a committee in the VA. I sit on the Scout Executive Board. I'm also a Scout leader, the Chinook Commission or District Chair, and then I'm the council lead or the chairman for the National Eagle Scout Association here locally. So most of my time has been devoted in the near recent to volunteer activities in the community.
So you're also in your neighborhood. Tell us about that.
So I'm also, yes, I'm the neighborhood council chair, which has been for the last 2 years. I'll be up for re-election in January.
And Rockwood neighborhood?
Yes, sir, Rockwood neighborhood. And it's gone very well. Started actually about 4 years ago. And one of the things that was really interesting to me when I moved in, and in the Marine Corps, when you move somewhere, as soon as you pull in and the moving trucks start unloading, the neighbors just descend on you with welcoming, gifts, points of contact, suggestions. Well, when I moved in the neighborhood, we didn't really have that. And so I basically took it upon myself to go, you know, put cards together, walk around, meet all the neighbors. We set up a meeting at the house and invited everybody over for an open house. And through that, talking at the neighborhood council, realized that that's not a norm other places. So we started a welcoming package, which now we do for every new person that moves into the neighborhood. Somebody goes out and meets them. We have several great donations from the community, and we put together a welcome bag. And what's great about that is it's been so successful that some of the other neighborhoods are now taking that on as a neighborhood program. So some of the other neighborhood chairs have contacted me or representatives. We've gone through how to put the program together, how to track that information to get the new neighbors' contacts, and then go out and just meet with them and welcome them to the neighborhood, give them some information about the community. Some people are just moving from one location into another, so it's not a new place. But other people are moving from a completely other part of the country. And so for them, things like a map or a copy of the Inlander Annual Manual or the bus schedule, the library schedule, things like that that most of us would take for granted, to them are just, you know, blessings of, oh my gosh, look at all this information. And the other piece is really just welcoming them with open arms to say, hey, we're so happy to have you in our community. We want you to be part of the community. These are what we do. These are our activities. You know, we've got our block party coming up in like 2 weeks and all these things that we work on. Please come join us. And if not, you know, we'll make sure we get you the information. And so through that, my involvement continued to grow in the neighborhood council and ultimately ended up, you know, being asked to step up and be the neighborhood chair. And so it's been wonderful. That's to a certain extent how I ended up deciding to run. So working on the neighborhood council, worked very closely with the city council. Our two council members, Kinnear and Beggs, regularly come to the neighborhood council meetings, brief us on what's going on. We have representatives from the different offices in the city. And one of the things that was very, I don't know if it's a concern is the right word, but something that the neighborhood really wanted to be involved in was how we could work with the city to help work on some of the property crime issues. And everybody in Spokane knows it's been a challenge. We've been in the paper. We've been recognized as being, you know, very high in the nation per capita for property crime. And so one of the things we've done is we've advocated for new officers. There was a study that was done that I sat in on last year on the right number of officers for the city. And so we've worked very closely with them on that. And so we advocated for new officers, though that seems to have made some headway. There's going to be 10 new officers, 4 new traffic officers. But one of the things we were also following was the property crime supervision bill, which would have helped address those property crime criminals that basically aren't dangerous, haven't been necessarily, and it economically may not even make sense to put them in jail, but how do you necessarily give them or work with providing the tools so they can get out of that kind of cycle of crime? And so this supervision bill would have helped provide, you know, supervision officers who could work on that. And those that are willing to work could basically have somebody to help guide and mentor, similar to things that were really recognized here in Spokane, the Veterans Court or the drug court or community court system, same type of thing. Mentors are assigned, you work through them. Would have been a great opportunity. I'm not saying it would have solved the problem, but it would have been a great step. Well, when our council members came and notified us that it had been blocked and stopped in the House after being worked bipartisan, approved from the Senate, the third district senator, Andy Billing, was one of the co-sponsors on that. It had moved through. We were pretty upset about that, and we were like, why? It doesn't make any sense. So I had kind of fortuitously at the same time received the invitation for the third district town hall. And I'm like, well, let me go find out what this is all about. So went, heard our representative speak. And as I mentioned earlier, our current representative for seat number 2, who I'm running against, Tim Ormsby, got up and talked. Really, the things that he was talking about was that he worked on the budget and had these new tax proposals that he was advocating on behalf. And I'm like, this isn't going to help Spokane. We had an opportunity to work on the property crime bill. You stopped it. You know, now we've got these other items that aren't going to benefit. And, you know, more research I did and the more I looked at it, realized that particularly some of them were going to really impact some of the most vulnerable people in Spokane. You know, like the carbon initiative with this new gas tax. I mean, we already are the third highest in the nation for gas taxes. We don't need to be number one. And as I talk to people, I've been all over Spokane now and, you know, talking to doorbelling and talking to neighbors all across, whether it's in Hilliard or East Central, West Central, Kendall Yard, South Hill, you name it, have been all over. You know, that's one of the things that people certainly, as a commonality, are concerned about. And it's just not going to benefit them. And so the more I thought about it, the more I realized, you know, I need to, as I joke, follow some of my own advice, with whether it was in the Marine Corps or with scouts. A lot of times I would tell folks, or even now, if a parent brings something up, hey, this is a wonderful opportunity for you to get involved. We could really use your help. And to follow some of my own advice and said, okay, well, you know what? Don't know that much about politics. Haven't been, ever ran for office. But I think it's the right thing to do. And as people ask me, I am 100% convinced that I'm doing the right thing. I really believe that Spokane needs a solid, sound voice that speaks on behalf of our needs and our concerns. It feels like a lot of the things that get passed are in the benefit of the West Side and the urban Seattle Puget Sound agenda. And it just, the more I thought about it, the more I thought, and the more people I talked to, and the more things I hear about, yes, we really need some change. We need something different. We need people to stand for us and speak on our values and our needs and really work to have a economy that works for everybody and that people have an opportunity to really have good jobs, raise their families. It just really led down the road of, well, be quiet or get involved. And I'm not really a quiet person. So I said, okay, well, you know what? I'll go ahead and jump in. And it has been a real blessing for me. I have met, you know, you kind of have your normal circles in life of the people that you run into between school and sports that your kids participate in, and for us, scouts and church. But this has really opened up a whole new group of people that I've come into contact with and have been just a real blessing, from the great people that have come into our lives, as well as all the people that I get to meet throughout the community that I would probably never have. I mean, you know, an example is going door to door in Hilliard is probably not. I mean, I've been up. We, you know, I love the idea of the Hilliard days, and we're going to go march in that parade, but probably wouldn't go. You know, we're at like over 6,000 doors we've knocked on so far, and I've done about half of those myself. Would have probably never done that otherwise. So that has been such a real neat, wonderful experience to get to talk to folk, hear what their concerns are, and just meet all the wonderful, and I won't probably meet all, you know, 70 plus thousand registered voters, but all the people that we have met, it's just been a real blessing. It's been great and just a positive experience. And as I tell people, it really has restored my faith in human people and human, the people of Spokane, the community. I mean, I knew my neighbors, but now that I have met that in a broad spectrum times 100 or 1,000, it's really just wonderful people across the community, and just really has reiterated what a wonderful place to live and a wonderful community that we're in.
So I'm curious, as you tell me about this, and you probably alluded to it, what was your role in the Marine Corps? Did you have a leadership position in the Marine Corps?
I did. So I retired as a lieutenant colonel from the Marine Corps and have worked at all different levels. You know, obviously I started as a forward observer working with an infantry unit, providing them supporting arms, moving all the way up to the last combat deployment I had. I was the director of Afghan National Security Force Development for Southern Afghanistan for the Helmand Province. So, you know, obviously worked for the division, but I had responsibility for all of the training teams and the development of the Afghan police, the military, the Border Patrol, and so those organizations. And a wonderful opportunity, again, you know, meeting and traveling all across southern Afghanistan, meeting with folks who had been there when the Soviets had been there and talking about what it had been like, original Mujahideen fighters, all the way to young folks who were relatively new, who only really knew the current experience or kind of the in-between period of talking to people what it was like when the warlords had control, and really seeing, trying to build a altruistic vision where, you know, those organizations really maintained the moral high ground and really represented the people, did a good job of trying to protect the people. And it was a new idea to many of them. They really did not recognize or understand that idea because it's been so long since they've had a central government or organization where they were able to do that. And I tell you, that was one of my big differences, stark contrast I noticed between Iraq and Afghanistan. Iraq had a history of a government, so they really kind of understood it, even if they didn't embrace it. And neither country will ever have a government similar to ours, but they at least understood an idea of a centralized government. In Afghanistan, that was a completely new, for most of the people I talked to, idea. And so as we tried to build that and encourage them to do that, it was a, like I said, a very exciting and varied job of, like I said, a lot of traveling, a lot of meetings, a lot of coalition building with the different organizations, and certainly even within the families, because you had a tribe on one side of this town and a tribe on the other that, for whatever reason, had a 100-year-old, you know, grudge against each other. And sometimes they didn't even remember what the issue was. They just remembered, hey, we don't get along with those people. And trying to sit down and have tea and talk about things or have a dinner and, you know, work through those issues to really try to explain to them that how it made it better for all of Afghan and all of the cities and all of the citizens to be at peace and to be in a better situation.
So I guess my point is that your neighborhood work is sort of a natural extension of what you did in the military.
Yeah, a little bit. And what has really come to that I've really realized in this transition kind of as you were there is I really enjoy and feel most fulfilled with service to others, whether it was as a kid growing up doing Boy Scouts and working for the small town I lived in or working at the pool or, you know, being in the military, serving our country, working in other countries, trying to help them develop, working on the neighborhood council, and now looking at trying to represent Spokane is really, I think, something as far as a, you know, lifestyle for me of just doing what I can to help facilitate those to succeed. I mean, there's nothing more rewarding than working with somebody and watching, you know, the joy in their face when things are coming together, whether it's working with a Cub Scout or a Boy Scout or, you know, working with somebody in the neighborhood, whether it's doing neighborhood cleanup or the welcome bag or somebody who's just amazed when you knock on their door and they go, no one has ever come to my door. You're the first politician who's ever come to my door and knocked, and then getting a chance to hear what their issues are and say, okay, you know what, I think I understand that. Or even, you know, by working with the neighborhood council, some of the things that people bring up aren't really a state level issue. It's something with regard to the city. I'm like, you know what, call this person. I happen to know who that person is. Or, hey, this is something you can look at. We dealt with this in our neighborhood, and these are ways you can do that. And I love seeing people succeed. I love being able to help facilitate that and really enable that opportunity for folks. And it's so it really has become, as you started to say, a lifestyle that I really have really just embraced. And, you know, whether it's, like I said, working neighborhood council, scouts, working at the VA, it just is great to see people succeed.
So we're 16 minutes into this interview here, and I just wanted to, I'm only going to use 5 or 6 on the radio, but the whole thing will be on our website.
Oh, neat. Okay.
So I just want to know, are there other issues that you wanted to talk about? And you've talked a lot about neighborhood sorts of things. You've talked about but are there other things that you wanted to point out?
Yeah. I mean, I think the things that concern me and that what I would really like to, when I talk to folks, articulate is doing the right thing. I think we have gotten into a point where – and I don't think it's a malicious intent. I think some of it is just a natural progression of when you've been in a job for a long time and you kind of get a process, you just go with that process. But I think as I've walked around and talked to the community, people don't feel well served and they don't feel that the process is benefiting them. And, you know, whether it was taking money out of the rainy day fund that should have either been used one way that the way the voters had decided, or it could have been given back to the voters. We had a lot of property tax increase. There could have been some rebates there. Or if the legislature really felt they needed to spend the money, the answer is to go back to the people who they took the money from and get approval to spend it the way they wanted versus the way that the law laid it out. Whether it was trying to put obstacles in front of the initiative or pushing these new ideas as far as taxes that the citizens have routinely said, we don't want. We're now having this discussion again about an income tax. It has resoundingly, year after year when it comes up, been voted down by the people, but yet we continue to want to come back to say, well, the legislature knows better and we're going to say that you should do this. Or when they, like I said, put the barriers to the initiative process, or spent the money that should have either gone into the savings or been rebated back to the people without going back and having that discussion. And as I talk with folks, I think they just feel that they aren't well looked, and maybe looked after is the wrong word. Their voice is not being heard when these decisions are being made. And I recognize that large bureaucracies, it's difficult and it is hard. But what I would say is that's why we elect people, is to do that hard work, to stay there, to grind on it, to figure out the solution, not just take the path of least resistance or not just pick one party or the other, but to work together and to do what's in the best interest of the people who we're serving. And remembering that we serve at the will of the people, not for ourselves. And so I don't know if that's a good spot to end or wrap up, but that's kind of how I got in. I mean, there's certainly some specific issues with regard to taxes that I mentioned, the property crime. I think we need to continue to work on education and make sure that we aren't just we've applied the resources now, but now that we are going back and looking at to ensure that the outcomes that the community wants to see are actually coming out, not just, okay, well, we met the class size requirement, we're building new schools. Well, that's great, and those are all good things. But now are we getting the results that we as parents want to see of the school? So, you know, homeless is a challenge here. I think we really need to work collectively, both with the community, the city, and the state to address that. And as we talk about that, certainly the looking at what are the barriers to access with regard to some of the veterans and some of the homeless veterans to get them involved in some of these programs. The Washington Department of Veteran Affairs just recently received a new grant from the federal government to help try to work on some of those things for the homeless veterans. We we need to really reach out and work across the entire community at each one of those levels, working together to see how we can best serve the community and those different elements within the community that may be struggling or not, but really making it a wonderful community and continuing the wonderful history that Spokane has had.
So let's finish with this. I'm curious about where did your political beliefs start? Where did they come from? So for some people, it was one event that kind of got them, you know, off on this or that. How did your beliefs sort of originate?
I was really, in a lot of ways, really lucky. I grew up in the 80s. I mean, very stereotypical of the Ray-Bans and the parachute pants and the members-only jacket, which my wife still likes to tease me about being in the closet and still waiting for it to come back into fashion. You know, Ray-Bans have come back, so, you know, never know. But growing up at that time, it was, I think, a really nice time in the country where we had a really positive feeling. We were working well on the international stage. We were working with other leaders. You know, I wouldn't say it was idyllic. I mean, there were times that we struggled as a family economically. And so I recognize that. My parents would talk about, you know, as I went into junior high, they got divorced. That was certainly a challenge that we lived through. I remember struggling to when we were going to school and being upset because I wasn't able to get new school clothes on the first day of school like most people. But the one thing that did come out of that was working through scouts, working with great mentors and great people, that fundamental belief in that people are good. And if you can talk to them, if you can work with them, if you can offer a hand when they need it, they will offer you a hand when you need it and work together cooperatively to really be successful. And that government isn't necessarily the best solution always. They are not the ones who are going to be able to solve that issue. You have to take ownership. The community is probably the best place to start. You and your neighbors know what you want your neighborhood to look like. You know what the neighbors, who should be there, who shouldn't. We talk about property crime. That's a perfect example. The neighbors are the strongest tool to work on that issue. Can the city and the state facilitate some things? Certainly. But working together as neighbors really is the first start. And so just that strong belief in personal responsibility, you know, personal success, seeing those opportunities, whether, like I said, was working through scouts or seeing what was going on or seeing my mom. I talk about this, you know, comes up periodically is I remember when and we weren't Mormon, but our neighbor was, invited her to come work at the cannery on the weekends to work for food so that we could have other things at home. And she has worked through that and done very well since then, ended up just recently retiring, working with the early childhood development program in California. So getting to see that is a wonderful thing of seeing that people are good, just give them a chance, work with them and be prepared to work hard and things will work out.